bringing it all back to my house, Rosie on the House, for the holiday edition of Rosie on the House. Glad you're tuned in. Hope you had a blessed Christmas morning and a Hanukkah celebration.
And a happy new year. By the time we broadcast again, it will be in 2021.
Yay. I don't think anybody's going to shed any tears seeing 2020 go in the history books. That's for sure, man.
It may be a year that history books skip over, too.
Ooh, man, oh, man.
Don't worry, hit you on it, you know.
Golly. Well, it was certainly one to experience, that's for sure. We're talking right now in this hour about the things you Arizona homeowners reach out to us at Rosie on the House asking about. And we've talked about our most popular blogs of the year, plants that are out of control, the toughest stuff to grow in Arizona, all about saguaros, where does the electricity come from in Arizona. We're also asked all the time, when's Arizona going to run out of water? But that's another whole issue, which we could, you know, that's a whole show right there. But one of the blogs that I think people need to hear right now because of the dynamic real estate market is, what are the five things, or what are the most important things to do to update my house? And I'm old enough that I've seen both sides of this coin. When sunken living rooms first got introduced into the market in the late 60s, early 70s, Romy, when you wanted a sunken living room, we charged you extra for that.
To build it.
Yeah, to sink the living room. Yeah, that was an upgrade.
Well, it's extra excavation, extra time, extra forms.
But we didn't charge near as much as we're making now, filling in all those fucking living rooms. Everybody wants to get rid of their sunken living room, and for good reason. I mean,
so what was the thought in having them sunken to begin with, anyway?
We'd have to ask Gary, but Gary, there was a 007 James Bond movie where it was a multi-level house that had a sunken living room.
You're right. I can't think of the movie offhand, but
Sean Connery played Smoochy Face in the sunken living room, and at that point, sunken living rooms took off, baby.
And you had a lot of 60s movies that had used that same type of set.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was the 60s.
It was that mid-century Marvel, or maybe we should call it mid-century mystery. But people don't realize when they call us and say, we'd like to fill in this living room, a lot of people say, will you just use 2x8s and rip them down and cover it? And that is absolutely definitely the wrong way to get rid of your sunken living room. You're putting wood down below grade in a condition that's extremely conducive for termite infestation. The right way to fill in a sunken living room is we actually have to go in there, and if there are some furring strips that go down to the lower level, if there is drywall, if there is baseboard, if there is insulation, we have to cut all of that up above the new floor level. Get anything like that above grade. And then we have to raise all the electrical receptacles. You know, if your living room is sunk 8 inches, then your receptacles are 12 inches above the floor. You fill them up, your receptacles now are going to be 4 inches above the floor, and they're going to be right in the middle of your baseboard. So we try and get all those electrical receptacles raised back up. So you've got electric, you've got some carpentry. Then we generally recommend people, look, if we're going to fill it, why don't we drill this slab real well right now and supersaturate it with some termiticide, and then we never have to worry about drilling through 8 inches or 12 inches of concrete to treat it should we have a problem in the future. So we're going to termite treat it. We're going to get any anything that will decompose up above the floor level. We're going to put in some ABC fill, and then we're going to put in rebar ties to the existing slab, and then we're going to pour, generally speaking, at least a 3,500 or 4,000 PSI concrete slab. And it's going to take a long time to cure inside your house. And I say cure, that's not the technical term for concrete. But when we do it inside a house, the water can't go anywhere, any direction except up. It has to evaporate. It can't go down because it's going to meet a concrete slab and just stop. So it takes a long time. And we put dehumidifiers in the house, try and suck the moisture out as quick as we can. But once you finish that, then you got to come back and reapply the furring strips down to finish the new finished floor height, the drywall, the baseboard, the paint, and then you've got your final floor covering. So when people want it done, we tell them, look, all in, done correctly, you need to take the square footage of your sunken living room and figure it's going to cost about $30 a square foot to raise it up. So if you've got a 200 square foot living room, it's going to be about $6,000. And there aren't a lot of 200 square foot living rooms. Many of them tend to be bigger than that. So the number very easily can get north of $10,000-$15,000. That surprises a lot of people. And back in the 60s, we only used to charge $800 to add them. But that is one thing you can do to update your dated home. And if you haven't gotten rid, the second thing, if you haven't got rid of the fluorescent lighting in your kitchen, hey, I'm here to tell you, that's got to go. That has just got to go.
It's one of those things that I'm surprised still exists. Like, oh. How, I mean, you got your money's worth out of that. I will acknowledge that, and you're very thrifty, but I just can't imagine living with that long.
Oh, and now with the new generation of remodel recessed lights, they're so shallow, it doesn't matter if there's ductwork up there. It doesn't matter how the attic or the trusses are framed. These fit no matter where you want them to go, and they are great light, and they will greatly enhance and update your home. Get rid of the fluorescent lighting. Get these new LED, narrow, shallow LED lights in there, and it will do a lot to upgrade the feel of your house and the look of your house. If you're still running around looking for 60-watt cool blue fluorescent tubes, get over it. Get over it.
So let's see. We had fill in the sunken living room, replace the fluorescent lights. What else would be on that list of a home from the 60s?
Go ahead and replace the original toilets. If you're still dealing with a 6-gallon flush old toilets because you've got the impression the new low flow, low gallon consumption toilets don't work, that was
the
true.
The first phase. And when they came on the market, they were awful. But
they were awful.
You'd have to flush it 9-10 times to get the job done.
It was legislated that no toilet could use over 2 gallons of flush, which was about 60% less than conventional. And it took us about a generation of engineering to figure out how to be smart and to be as smart as the legislatures that put that in place. Because invariably, when those came out, they all had to be flushed 3 or 4 times every single time. But when you take a look at when they do work and how much water it will save you, I think this surprises a lot of people. With 7 million people in Arizona, we're using about the same amount of water as we were in the mid-50s with 1.5 million people. Now, that's pretty incredible. And these new toilets are a big part of that.
So what else would be on that 5? Carports?
You know, that's one of the things when the blog was written is consider getting rid of the bright brass hardware in your house.
Oh, yeah. That was another awful idea.
That was the 70s, babe.
I remember going to someone's house. Babe. And very unfortunate for the man. He had lost his wife. But you could tell when they had decorated their home and nothing had changed.
Yeah.
And he had kept it this way for the last
30
years. And, oh, Wait. Oh, what were we thinking?
Here's why we have a full-time writer on staff. This blog was written at the end of the first quarter of 2020, okay? Five things to do to upgrade your aging home. Well, now, in the fourth quarter of the same year, they tell me Bright Brass is coming back.
No, not it won't last.
They tell me it's coming back.
It won't last.
So, you know, we're constantly updating our writing material, constantly. And then
it's hard to clean.
Well, they're hard to clean, and historically they've been very hard to maintain. And then if you've got hard water, no water softener, having Bright Brass on your plumbing fixtures is just...
It won't last.
A maintenance nightmare. And in your comment, Romy, the other thing, we built a lot of carports in our Arizona ranch-style homes back in the 50s and 60s. And one of the things that could increase the value of your home and the livability of your home, if you're still in one of those carported ranch-style homes, is consider converting to a garage. But you know that's not as easy as it sounds.
No, it's a lot more. And you can't, we don't actually have time to go into all the details, but there's a lot of code things. In a lot of those situations, there's a window from the kitchen into the carport. That window has to go because you're now parking your vehicle inside
enclosed
area. And because of carbon monoxide from the gas and the fumes, you've got to have that sealed off from the house. You can't, run into the situation that somebody would accidentally leave that window open. So by code, the window has to go.
And it has to be a one-hour fire-rated wall in between that enclosed garage and the house. So for all those reasons. So those are the things you've got to stop to consider in your carport to garage conversion. Generally speaking, you've got to lay your first layer of wall in a masonry block because you're below grade and you don't have the fall away. So you lay a 8/8/16 block, you frame your wall above that, insulate it, put the garage door on it, make sure you've got the fire protection, the fire rating, automatic door, boom. Now you've got a level of security that greatly enhances the value and livability of your home.